time to talk a little Red Sox, as we're joined on the G&M Family Market phone line by Brian McPherson of the Providence Journal. Brian, looks like the Red Sox and the Orioles get called in to see the assistant principal, huh?
Yeah, I mean, it makes sense that it seems like at this point the thing has escalated to the point where only a brawl is going to stop it. I guess either a brawl or the intervention of the commissioner. So that's what it sounds like happened today. John Farrell said that on a radio appearance, that he's talked to Joe Torre, he's talked to Rob Manfred, and that basically it seems like both sides have been told to cool it. I mean, there didn't seem to be any reason this thing needed to continue beyond last week, given Matt Barnes' suspension, given what Dustin Pedroia had to say about how he felt about the way his own teammates had carried it out. But it has continued, and yeah, at this point, I think both sides, I mean, and certainly the commissioner's office, are worried about somebody getting hurt.
Well, and now some reports that Chris Sale may be even be looking at a suspension.
I mean, which would be really, you know, terrible for the Red Sox, and that's, you know, just what they don't need. But, I mean, there was pretty clear intent behind his pitch. He can say what he wants, and he didn't honestly even say very much. He didn't deny that he had thrown at Machado, and you know, at this point, it seems like it's getting a little bit out of hand. Certainly throwing behind his knees is not nearly as dangerous as getting a pitch up around Machado's head the way Matt Barnes did. But, I mean, I guess it wouldn't be shocking given the way things have gone and given the clear intent behind the pitch.
Well, there's just been so much ugliness in this series, whether it's the throwing at people, whether it's the four errors that the Red Sox made on Monday night, or, of course, the whole incident with Adam Jones. Let's talk about that. The Red Sox were pretty aggressive, proactive in this and stepping up and doing the right thing. The fans with a nice welcome to the game last night for Adam Jones. But this is a real issue. This is not a one-time thing, as a number of Red Sox players have said.
Yeah, and it's a societal issue. And, I mean, in some ways, this is one of those things about sports that allows you to kind of cast the spotlight on a societal issue that, you know, clearly isn't going away as much as people want it to. And it was a nice moment when Adam Jones was welcomed with a pretty hearty ovation that guys, including Mookie Betts, had called for to kind of say, like, let's show Adam Jones, let's show everyone that this is not who all of us are, that these are just a couple of idiots, isolated idiots, and that's not what our city stands for. And it was a nice moment for them to do that, to kind of salute Adam Jones, you know, as a symbol, as the victim of those acts on Monday night, to say, like, we support you, we're with you, which sort of made the fact that Chris Sale threw at Manny Machado, like, 2 minutes later for the very next batter that much more unfortunate.
On the field, when he wasn't throwing at people, Sale just continued to absolutely dazzle. Well, you know it's going well when Pedro goes on Twitter and says, this guy has already surpassed me. I don't buy that, but he is having an unbelievable start to his career in Boston.
Yeah, he's been phenomenal. And, I mean, in some ways, what he did with Jones and Machado kind of epitomizes his ability to compartmentalize, and I think that has helped him a lot in his Red Sox career, because we've all talked so much about how much these guys, these new pitchers, David Price, Rick Porcello, Josh Beckett, John Lackey, how much all these guys struggled upon introduction to Boston. But Sale, I mean, he mentally seems to have the ability to compartmentalize, just focus on the task at hand. You know, then most of the time that task at hand is throwing three absolutely unhittable pitches for strikes. And, you know, that's why he takes a perfect game in the fifth inning last night. That's why he's striking out about 12 or 13 per game. It doesn't matter what pitch he's talked about, how he doesn't shake off his catcher, and his catcher can call whatever, because he's going to throw a changeup in the strike zone that can't be hit. He's going to throw a slider in the strike zone that can't be hit. It's really something to see.
Well, and if the commissioner's office is really interested in improving the pace of the game, all they got to do is have everybody mimic what Sale does, because those babies click along at about a 2.5-hour pace when he's out there.
Sure, it certainly helps when a pitcher has the confidence to know he's not going to get touched. I think some of those guys, as we saw with Clay Buchholz over the years, slow it down when they're not feeling good about their stuff. But if you're Chris Sale, you feel pretty good about your stuff.
We're talking with Brian McPherson here on Downtown. Stephen Wright went to get a second opinion. No word back apparently on that yet, but we do know he's going on the DL, and we'll see the guy who is maybe the best pitcher in spring training this year in Kyle Kendrick.
Yeah, that's an interesting one, because then he had a couple of bad outings at Pawtucket when he first went down there. He had a rough season the last time he was in the major leagues in Colorado. He was a decent, you know, back end of the rotation starter for a lot of years in Philadelphia. It's, you know, this is sort of what they have him for, is if they lose somebody. They didn't use him when Eduardo Rodriguez went on paternity leave, because he doesn't have minor league options to go back. But, you know, this is the spot for him when you have a guy at the back end of the rotation go down for potentially an extended period of time. So this will be his audition. You know, it seems like he's a sinker baller that a few years ago got away from the sinker, and he's going to try and get back to this. He's been trying to get back to the sinker since then. Hard to know what to expect given how far removed he is from the major leagues, but certainly it'll be interesting to see.
The Red Sox did get a little run support finally for Chris Sale last night, but are there still some legitimate concerns about their offensive output?
Yeah, I mean, just kind of sloppy play in general. You know, the triple play by Jackie Bradley Jr. when he left the field, you know, that's not what you're looking for when he, you know, hadn't been called out yet because he thought it was an infield fly rule and it wasn't. But yeah, it's certainly encouraging to see Hanley Ramirez starting to hit the ball hard. Four tape measure home runs in the last four games. But all in all, yeah, it's still been kind of an underwhelming offensive output. And it does, as Xander Bogaerts alluded to last week, it does seem like they're still kind of waiting or still kind of missing David Ortiz as opposed to finding other ways to score some runs.
How long before Pablo Sandoval is able to return?
We don't know. Last we heard, he wasn't even doing baseball activity yet. So, you know, whereas Jackie Bradley's knee sprain, it was a 10 or 11 day thing, and he popped right back off the DL. You know, he was doing rehab assignments by the time he was, you know, 6 or 7 days into his DL stint. That's not the case for Sandoval. It does seem like it's going to be a little while. There hasn't been talk about surgery for him yet. We don't really know the severity, but we do know that at this point he's not doing any baseball activities, which only, you know, increases the length of time it'll take for him to get back.
Sandy Leon has been in quite a funk of late. Is there any chance that we'll see a change in that catching rotation soon?
I mean, I think we saw it on Saturday when Christian Vasquez caught Steven Wright. That was the first time he'd caught two games in a row. Then he caught three games in a row. And at this point, I think he is the primary catcher. You're going to see Leon still catching Sale, certainly. John Farrell's not going to do anything that would mess with Chris Sale, even though you would think Chris Sale could throw to anybody. John Farrell just doesn't like messing with pitchers who are on a roll. He's probably going to continue catching Rick Porcello, too. But at this point, Vasquez is going to catch more of the games just based on the offensive output, based on the fact that Leon is just not, he can't touch right-hander pitching right now. So that means Vasquez is catching Rodriguez and Pomerantz as usual, and I would also expect him to catch Kendrick on Thursday.
This series has been pretty wild, but getting the win last night, the Red Sox keep themselves within 2.5 games of first place. Is there a team in the American League East, Brian, that doesn't have any weaknesses?
No, and I think the fact that Toronto has completely fallen apart certainly gives the Red Sox a big-time margin for error. You know, obviously, the young Yankees are a good-looking team. You don't know if they can sustain it. The Orioles always find a way to contend, it seems like, in these last few years. But, I mean, that's the Red Sox, on the one hand, feel like they're kind of hanging on by their fingernails. And on the other hand, it feels like if they can kind of pull themselves up and get their feet under them, especially at the plate, and get some of the sloppiness out of the way. I mean, they just took 2 out of 3 from the Cubs over the weekend. Like, there's still a lot of pieces there for there to be a contending team, even though it does feel like things are, you know, at the same time, it feels like things are on the verge of falling apart just because of how sloppy it looks.
That Cubs series, I was saying this the other day, to me, that might be the best advertisement yet for Interleague Baseball. That was such a great and a fun series to watch.
Oh, yeah. To me, that should be an annual event. I mean, it's funny. They have these natural rivalries, like they have the Yankees and Mets play every year, you know, the Cubs and White Sox, the crosstown. But the Cubs and Red Sox, just the sort of mutual affection there, you know, the fact that they were doing charity events together, it's just, you know, the same, such camaraderie, such kind of similar sense of identity, those two franchises. And then you add the common threads, Theo Epstein, John Lester, everything that goes with those two organizations right now. And it was, yeah, it was really a phenomenal weekend of baseball.
Now, back when he was playing in Boston, did you think to yourself, boy, I'll bet that David Ross would be a heck of a dancer if given the opportunity?
I don't know that I thought that. I think if you had suggested to me that he would host something like Dancing with the Stars, I wouldn't have put that past him given his personality. But, yeah, he's a man of many talents.
He is living the dream right now, no doubt about that. Brian McPherson covers the Red Sox for the Providence Journal. Brian, as always, thanks for being with us this afternoon. We'll do it again soon.
All right, thanks for having me.